on Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Yeah, it's a fair rap on Sweet Caroline, isn't it? I mean, Neil Diamond, if he's getting the loyalty rights and all that sort of thing, he's just kicking back. Is he still with
Vossie,
us? He hasn't died. He's still with us.
Don't dare underestimate the importance of the trophy job at all. Like, that was a significant job back then.
I didn't break a trophy either. I wanted to, for the record, I did not drop or break a trophy.
That's not special. Once. Look, you know what? If you're doing that job today, you're looking after a $600,000 The Everest trophy. I actually sat with the designer, the creator, if you like, Nick Tironi, for a little while on the weekend. And wow, what a huge job that was. All those diamonds and for it to be worth $600,000, it's an amazing work of art.
Yeah, well, I can also say part of my job too, Monday to Friday, I did actually have some trouble reconciling a few invoices. You will find a few of them buried in the garden outside the old offices of the Sydney Turf Club. That's a skeleton in my closet. Anyway, that's the way it went. But no, I actually, I had the duty of, you know, paying the prize money and taking out the percentage for the trainer and the jockey and all that. That was part of my weekly tasks and working out of Canterbury Racetrack. How good.
Did you sort of wait till after the celebrations to hand over the money so they weren't counting it in full?
Nah.
Did you take your bit? Take your cut?
I got the occasional tip too. I did get the occasional tip for, you know, just delivering the trophy. Yeah, true.
But I tell you what, do you reckon James McDonald right now is, he's not at track work, to be honest. He's in isolation because he's off to ride Zaki in the Cox Plate. But do you think he's still singing Sweet Caroline? He was quite emotional.
Oh. 100%. Like, so if at the Melbourne Cup they produce it, they're copying us, aren't they? And you know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So it'll have to get a run. It'll have to get a run. What is the crowd for the Melbourne Cup, by the way? Are we... See, Melbourne's changing things later this week, or that's the expectation.
That's exactly
what does
right,
that mean for Melbourne Cup crowd? We don't know yet exactly. 10,000? More?
I know none of us will be there, sadly. My colleagues in the Seven Network in Melbourne will be looking after that. But, yeah. But, honestly, I can't rave enough about this on the weekend, that 10,000 feeling like 50,000. And the fact, you know, we just heard Brett Devine there, you know, talk about the atmosphere. But the fact just how big this is now around the world, again, huge job from my colleagues at the Seven Network. 60 countries with numbers reaching tens of millions. It is absolutely huge. It's certainly a race that's here to stay. And to think that it's over and done within 70 seconds... real heart-stopping sort of stuff. And also Dave Riccio saying that Peter Volandis is one of the better administrators. He's absolutely the best. Two codes, racing and rugby league, and to steer it to the two of them through the pandemic the way they have. And look, they made a lot of sacrifices along the way. I mean, even for me last week trying to do stories and the amount of things that they had to stop because of access to not, you know, risk anything, you know, happening. I mean, the publicity and that would have been fantastic for them, but they had to sort of say no to a lot of things just to keep it safe. I mean, jockeys weren't even allowed at the barrier draw. So yeah. Big calls, but obviously all for the right reasons.
Now, Michelle, as it stands right now, confirmation there, will be 10,000 fully vaccinated racegoers allowed into the Melbourne Cup. But, as I say, restrictions easing in Melbourne later this week. Probably still a watch this space come the first Tuesday in November. Just out of Melbourne too, Craig Bellamy's had his say in regards, hands off my players. If they're under contract, that's it. But as I raised the issue last week, what if the player instigates the discussion makes undertones, I want to go back to Queensland. I want to be part of this new franchise. I mean, what's the club going to do? Then you get this standoff, for family reasons, they want to go back. You know, we've seen it all before. It happens all too often.
Yeah, but he'd be way out of place if he didn't come out and start defending the club. So his approach to this is, of course, that he hopes the club's culture and long-term success will work in his favour. And as we discussed earlier, that just is not going to happen when you put a few dollar signs in front of people. But just on that, Vossie, I also think that the lifestyle is huge as well at the moment. The fact that so many of these players have just, you know, been living it up in Queensland, got a taste of this, the awesome weather, the casual lifestyle, you know, even the cheaper house pricing. It's almost been like a, you know, when you go on a holiday and you get roped into one of those, meetings where they want to show you some brilliant experience, you know, to buy a house or do whatever. Well, the Dolphins haven't had to do that because it was just all laid out there in front of them with the 2021 competition. Because, I mean, it was something different. They weren't living in the same pressures as everybody else with COVID. They weren't, you know, they were in a resort style living. I think it's been fantastic. But Munster, obviously, Harry Grant, Christian Welsh, they're all being targeted. But and even their recruitment manager, Paul Bunn, he's also been mentioned that Bennett might give him a bit of a tap on the shoulder to come and join join them up there in Brisbane. And also Bellamy's made a point, which is he talked about when he started at the Raiders and setting up there and how difficult it was and the rules that he had to abide by, which was that 13-man import rule. So he ventured off into the bush. Well, unfortunately, the Dolphins won't have to do that. And
it really means nothing now, does it? They could be all imports. There's no reason why there has to be a Queenslander in their ranks. I mean, long gone are those days. By the way, a little bit of feedback. One of our listeners says, settle down, guys. They ran a horse race. They didn't land on the moon. We're just excited.
Boo, if you can't talk, morning,
exactly,
get excited.
Party pooper. Get excited. Yay. Exactly. And by the way, have they landed on the moon, have they? Now, Raelene Boyle wants the IOC to rethink the situation with medals for athletes who were cheated during the 70s and 80s. This has been a great frustration of Raelene's life.
Yeah, and as we all know, she falls into that category. She missed out on a medal at the track in 72. But last week we talked about swimming's governing body, FINA. We're talking about blowing it up, all that sort of stuff, getting a total overhaul. And one of the issues they will address, they've actually discussed this, is swimmers receiving the recognition they should, awarding medals to those who missed out as a result of cheating. Michelle Ford is one of those, Lisa Curry. And we're not talking like, you know, I had this conversation on the weekend with somebody. We're not talking years and years and years ago. Michelle Ford, Lisa Curry, these are, you know, they are still, it's the 70s, it's the 80s. They deserve it. We can't just forget about them. But it's up to 9 swimmers, Fossey. So it is a pretty big deal. And Michelle would be looking at the 400 free, the 200 butterfly. She's owed a few. And I think of the 11 medals handed out in that period with the swimming, 9 of those were later revealed to be cheats. So it's quite staggering. But these athletes, the ones that are fed income, the ones that work so hard and made sacrifices, they're being denied because of people taking shortcuts. Now, Boyle's not filled with confidence at the moment that the same's going to happen in track and field, given the magnitude of the task in athletics, because we are looking at a number of Olympics, the 72 Olympics, 76, and also maybe even 68. But she's pretty fired up about it. And I think with good reason.
I agree. I think, you know, in these days you put hashtag I stand with Raelene. I mean, I think that's where we all are in regards to that. Michelle, great effort. And you will be back at 8:30 with more because we no longer have Maddie Johns on the program between 8 and 9 on a Monday morning. So an extra sports update.
To fill.
That's it. So I'm expecting some breaking news in an hour from now.
I'm on it.